I very much appreciate what's gone before. It's not very often, and I think I can probably speak for Chris too, it's not very often that you have more than one subject on your mind. But you know, when that happens and the Lord delivers, and I think we've seen that this morning, then we see the manifest glory of God and His power. I want to go to Acts chapter 3 where Chris was reading, because it it seems that if I would have had an opportunity to lay out what I want to talk about this morning, that's probably, I would have tried to do it just like that. And in Acts chapter 3, I want to look at what these said there in verse 12. As Chris read, it says, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Well, that's a good question. And it sounds like those people that were looking at him there were looking at him just that way. They were looking at him as though it was by their own holiness and their power that they had made that one to walk. Now, there's a reason why those people thought that. The reason why those people thought that is there were people that were going around saying that they could do that by their own holiness and their own power. And there were people that were esteeming themselves better than they ought. There were those that were lording over God's heritage. And there were those that were professing to have power that they didn't have. And these people were in the flesh. Those people that did such things were in the flesh, and those people that would go and glorify those men were in the flesh. But what it says here is it says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go." And it continues on here, but what in verse 16 is what I want to reach. It says, "And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Friends, I believe what Peter spoke there. I believe what Chris has spoken to us this morning. Friends, I believe that when we see the work, a powerful work that's glorifying to God and edifying to His people, even today we are seeing the work by the power of God Himself. And that we see salvation by His name and through faith in His name. Friends, when we see and feel salvation in this world, what we feel and see is the power of the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And friends, the way that we see that, the way that we experience that, is by faith in that name. And friends, we've been given both. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to this world and He gave His name. He came and established His name. He has always had a name from before the foundation of the world. But men did not know that name until He came and made it manifest to us. But friends, we've been given that name. It's been made manifest to us. But friends, we've also been given something else. We've been given a faith in that name. We've been given a fruit of the Spirit that has faith. Faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, you realize that the power is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The validity of that work is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yet we, by the grace and love of God, have a taste of that. We've been given faith in that name.
Yeah.
That faith empowers us by the same power that Jesus Christ Himself has, because we've been given faith in that name. Now, when you start thinking like that, you first got to realize that we didn't manufacture that faith.
That's right.
We didn't come to an understanding that we wanted to believe this name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We didn't, as men of this day, try to take the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and ascribe His work to our own name. He gave us that name.
Yeah.
It's because He loved us that we love Him.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 4:19 says, "You love Him because He first loved us." We love Him because He first loved us. And friends, when we see a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like this, I see a powerful Savior. I see the man who has the power. But I see a God who has been graceful and has given us His grace and His mercy and His love to give us faith in that name. That by the working of the Holy Spirit, quickening the Spirit within us, we have faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, that's the power. That's the power for us to see and know the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know that by our own faith, even if we have faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can't save ourselves from our sins? He and only He can save us from our sins. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did that. But friends, we've been given a faith in His name.
Yes.
We've been given a salvation just in knowing the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been given power. Power in knowing the work and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. in Hebrews chapter 2, this reminds, what caused me to go here is something that Chris said. It says in verse 7, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." Friends, this is speaking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, crowned with glory and honor from God. Now, nobody can crown anyone with glory and honor except the Father in heaven. And friends, He chose to make manifest to us that this His Son is crowned with glory and honor. Friends, that's faith in His name to know and to see this crown of glory and honor that sits atop the head of our King. It says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection." It says in verse 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him." And I'm going to stop there for a moment, because that's the truth. Yeah. And it stands as the truth that everything that shall be put under our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been put under Him. Yeah. But friends, what it says here, and this is goes back to what Chris said, it says, "But now we see not yet all things put under Him." Right. Friends, we don't see everything put under Him, but does that mean that those things are not put under Him? It means that we don't see them. And friends, what I'll tell you is that I believe all things have been put under my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe in the faith and the power of the name of my Savior, that those things have been put under Him, that He sits above those things. But friends, we, as Chris said, right now we're veiled in this carcass of flesh. And you know, if it's left to us to see things with the natural eye, there's going to be some things that we cannot see. Yeah. And friends, if we're looking around in the natural eye, what you're going to see is that what we see is that not all things have been put under the feet of my Lord and Savior, yeah, Jesus Christ. I feel the sin in my flesh. I see it around. You see your sin, and it's ever present with us. We see the problems of this world. We see the trials and tribulations of this flesh. And we might be tempted to say, well, under the feet of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But friends, let me tell you, it's our perception. What we see is that we don't understand and we don't see with these eyes, these natural eyes, that He is risen above. That all these things that have been put in subjection, under our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I thank God for this next verse. In verse 9 it says, "But we see Jesus." Yeah. Friends, even though we don't see the manifest putting under of all these things in our life, friends, we have one thing that we do see. It says, "But in spite of our limited vision in this life, in spite of the limited eyes of the flesh, friends, we see Jesus." Now, how are we going to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It says we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Do you realize that even though we have a misperception of the flesh, we can already see that crown? We can see the very same crown of glory and honor that sits atop the head of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You believe that we have faith in that name? That we have faith in the crown that sits upon the head of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Friends, this isn't a crown of thorns that was manufactured by men's hands. This is a crown of glory and honor placed upon Him by my God and our Father. And it is by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We get a vision. We get to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. It tells us exactly why that He suffered the putting under the angels. It was that He might suffer death, for the suffering of death, but yet crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Was that grace for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that He would suffer these things? No, it's grace for us. It's by the grace of God for us that He came and suffered these things. It's by the grace and love that God had for us that He wore a crown of thorns, that He might return and sit at the right hand of God and wear a crown of glory and honor that we might see even today. You know, in chapter 10 there it says that He sits there at the right hand of the throne of God, henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. Friends, that day comes when we see with the eyes, the corrected eyes of glorified flesh, we get to see all of those things put under the feet of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, I believe when we are made like unto the Son of our living God, when we have the flesh like unto the Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, friends, we'll see things a little bit differently. What we'll see is some things that have already been done. What we'll see is some things that have been put under the feet of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we'll see Him sitting at the throne of God. We'll go to meet Him in the air, and then we will ever be with the Lord our God. But what we see when we see a Jesus like this, when we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, and when we see that there is a tendency of men in this world to ascribe glory unto themselves, to take things into their own hands, I want to look at a few verses here about the preservation of our God. Or should I say the preservation of us by our God. Now in Corinthians, I want to turn in the first chapter, verse 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Friends, we're not reading anybody else's mail. We're included in that. Now, we are ones that are gathered together today for the purpose, and I trust for the purpose, to come into this place and glorify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we trust by the power of God we're sanctified in Christ Jesus, that we're called to be saints. We realize all those things were sealed by the legal work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what we do have is a vision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have faith in His name that lets us understand and see this work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to all these that it says here, the God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that's where peace comes from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Friends, this Corinthian church, this church at Corinth, was not in a condition where they themselves were giving a lot of glory to God for the grace that He had given them. But friends, Paul prays on their behalf and says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, they had been delivered the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That word had been confirmed in them, and they had a work to do, and that was to live in that word of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what it says next, it says, so that you come behind in no gift, awaiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I find another confirmation here. First of all, it said that the word was confirmed in them that heard it there, and that they were walking in this word. But it says furthermore, and it says, this Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Friends, we have a confirmation that is eternal. Yeah. And that confirmation is not in any works of this flesh, yeah. Not in any works of this hand. It's not by any good deed that you might do, by whatever power you might do it. But what it says here is that He shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, if we stand before God as blameless, it's because and by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's because He has confirmed those things. And friends, it's just as Chris said, when He came out of that tomb, when He rose victorious over the death and the grave, friends, what that marks for us is that this deliverance had come. What it marks for us is that this is a confirmation. In Corinthians, I'm going to go ahead and turn there in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and in chapter 15. In verse 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Speaking of the Sadducees and their attitudes there. But in verse 13, it says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Friends, that is a confirmation for us when we see the glorified body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we see the resurrection of the Holy One of Israel, the only begotten Son of our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, it's a confirmation. It's a confirmation that we've been freed from our sins, and that we see that He has the power, that He has done it, that He has finished the work. And friends, this is where verse 9 comes in. I'll read verse 8 again. It says, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? I have to stop here and realize that we cannot be blameless except by the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even though we stand as before the foundation of the world, covenant children of God, even though we live after the time when Jesus Christ came in the flesh and sealed legally the work that He had come to do, friends, we in and of our flesh are blameful. We got blame all over us in this flesh. But friends, we will be confirmed to the end, and we will appear before God blameless. And how can God see us as blameless except looking through the holy imputed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Friends, that's how we are seen blameless. And friends, that's a confirmation that will forever and always exist. The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ isn't a consumable quantity. It will forever cover you. You'll never need any other confirmation than this, and that is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins, and that He did. And when He rose from that grave, that I see is the confirmation. Friends, that's why we were given witnesses of that thing. That's why there were witnesses there that saw the glorified body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they might know these things and that we might know these things by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it, now I'm going to have to read it again. In verse 8 it says, "Who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Friends, there is nothing more important when you start looking at the promises of God than to know one thing, and that is that our God is faithful. Friends, we have a God who is full of faith. We have a God who stands upon what He says. We have a God who does not change. We have a God who does not waver. We have a God who does not compromise. We have a God who is faithful. And you spoke about over there in Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to get back to that, about His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being faithful as well. But what it says here is, God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, He was faithful in the work that He did for us. He's faithful in the eternal consequence that He wrought for us. But what it also says here is, this God who is faithful, it's by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, if you have a faithful God and He gives an eternal call, friends, that call is faithful. He will not forsake that. He will not repent from that. His calling is without repentance, and we find we have a faithful God. And so these that gathered there to see the great works of Peter there and healing this man were completely mistaken. And I thank God that Peter was given inspiration of God to set it straight, to set the record straight, and say that this man was made whole by the name and by the faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 5, in verse 15, it says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Now that sounds like a lot of the things that were confirmed in the Corinthians over there that they were to do. All those things there were given unto them, that they were confirmed, that word was confirmed in them, and that they were to do these things. And friends, those same things are confirmed in us. We're held accountable for the knowledge of how we ought to behave. It's right here. But friends, here's something else. And it says in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it." Friends, what we see here is that this confirmation again, and that we see that the work of Jesus Christ is a work of peace that sanctifies us wholly. And Paul says, "I pray God for your whole spirit and soul and body, that all three of those things be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, and I spoke about this a little bit last time I was here, but there will be people that try to tell you that in this life we persevere. Right here it says that the body, the mind, and the soul be preserved by the power of God. If we do anything of any glory to God, if we do anything that's of any benefit in the house of God, it's by the power of God, and friends, we're preserved. And we have a confirmation in time, as these verses 15 through 22 speak about, these things that are confirmed in us, those things that were confirmed over there for the Corinthians, that we should walk and should do in those things, following the example and the ensample of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But also over there in Corinthians, it talked about that confirmation that was to the end, a confirmation in and by the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that forever presents us blameless before our God. Friends, as we are trying to think of the right word here, we have a tendency to go from good to bad. And since we started at bad, we're just getting worse. And friends, if God would have just saved us and quickened us and made us clean and left it right there, friends, this old body would start ripping away, and pretty soon we would be back to the blameful condition. But friends, what I find is we have a confirmation unto the end, and friends, that's preservation. And friends, what I want to say about preservation, and this I think is the key point I want to look at this morning, and that is that preservation requires a faithful God. And friends, since we have a faithful God, we have faith in this preservation. We have a knowledge that we have a God who is faithful to the end. We have a God who is faithful through all time and beyond into all eternity. that this God is faithful, that he won't turn from the covenants that he's made. He's not a covenant breaker. He's not a liar. He's not even a changer. But see, it says, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, what is that if there? What is it that this faithful God does? Well, we see that he calls us, and we know that he calls us. That's already done. It says there that he calls you. But it says this God is faithful, who will also do it. What is that that our God will do? I think it has a lot to do right there with verse 23, that Paul prayed that he would preserve our soul, spirit, and body blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the justice of Pharisees couldn't preserve his soul blameless. And friends, that's why the law was given, for us to understand that. Understand that we can't preserve ourselves blameless. We can't persevere before the law. But what we have is a preservation and a confirmation in the name and the work and the faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now in 1 Timothy, it says here in First Timothy chapter 1, says Paul's relating his account, and it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's in verse 11. Verse 12 says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Friends, we have a faithful saying, and that faithful saying, the only reason that saying is faithful is because it's speaking of a faithful God. It's speaking of a faithful Savior, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only way that this saying is faithful and worthy of all acceptation is that it's based on a foundation that doesn't shift or crack or move. It's based on the foundation of an unchangeable, faithful God. A God who we've already read about saved us from our sins. And here it says that this is the saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the saying. The saying is that he is worthy and that he came to save sinners. And friends, if this God is faithful, if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is faithful, friends, what that means to me is that if you give him a work to do and he goes about to do it, friends, that's the whole meaning of faithful, is that he gets the job done. Yeah. Friends, he's faithful, and that's why this doesn't even say here, what it says here, it says he came in the world to save sinners. Now right here it doesn't say he did save them, it says he came to save them. But you know what it does say here? It says we're talking about a faithful high priest. We're talking about a God who, when he comes to do something, he does it. So it's just the same as if he said he came and he saved us from our sin. And if you want to see it right there in black and white, you can go to Matthew 1:21, where it prophesies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he will come and save his people from their sins. And here we see it looking the other direction. It says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You see, Paul reaped benefits because of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to go now back to Hebrews chapter 2, where we began, and in here it says, get one of these, there was a phrase I wanted to get before I left this, and it says in verse 14 of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, it says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Remember those words, that the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And it says in verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Friends, that's the same grace of God that Paul wrote about in 1 Timothy, that it's by that grace that he showed love and faith in the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, that grace is not for Jesus Christ. That grace is through Jesus Christ for us. It's by God's grace to usward that Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ doesn't need any grace. Jesus Christ doesn't need any mercy. He's the author and finisher of our faith, He's given us a name above every name, and it's the only name whereby we must be saved. And it says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Friends, it's just as Chris said, and we'll get down here to this verse, that this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is faithful and merciful, that he was qualified in both counts, is that when he came into this life, when he walked and had his ministry, that he proved himself faithful to God, and he proved himself merciful unto men. And that as he became merciful through us, he was made perfect in that through his sufferings. And Chris has given us a picture of that from the Bible. Now, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Well, friends, there's that sanctification again. That's the same thing that we read about over there when it said we have a confirmation until the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's that we're preserved blameless and that we're sanctified. And right, what it says here, it says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. What does for as much then mean? It means in as equal magnitude, just like they are. As much like they are in it, that's how much he came. However far below God's glory and justice we were, that's how far Jesus Christ condescended. Yeah. He came all the way to us. I don't find anywhere in this Bible it says we were brought up to meet him, that he kind of suited us for salvation. Friends, he came to us where we were. Yeah. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood. And friends, we know that. We know that better than anybody, that we're partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now let's go back to all these things being put in under subjection under my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It sounds to me here that it says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Did my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ die? Yes, he did. It was required. And he came and he died and he rose again. But see, in his death he was victorious. And it says here that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now the devil has a little place here, and we're in this place, and he has his place here in the flesh, and friends, we see his work. We feel the pain of his work. We feel the tribulation and the trial in this flesh of the work of Satan. But friends, I'll tell you what, when you get to the Spirit, when you look at the things of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the devil has no place.
That's right.
He has been put in subjection unto my Father God by the work of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says It says that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. You know, if he took on him the nature of angels, well, something would have had to happen to get us up to the level of angels.
Yeah.
So we could have communion with our Lord and Savior. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He came all the way down to the seed of Abraham, to the likeness of sinful flesh, where we live. We didn't even have any desire to be like the angels. We didn't have any desire to look at our God. But Jesus Christ condescended in the flesh and came to us. And it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Friends, that's why he was made perfect. That's why he is faithful, and that's why he's merciful. All these things work together for one good reason. The good reason here is that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Friends, we've come into this place today to learn and to study and to feel the things pertaining to God. Friends, we've already said we feel the work of Satan in the flesh. We were upset with the world the way it is. But friends, we have a place where we can come and we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. We come to see and taste and dine at this table that has the things pertaining to God.
Yeah.
We've been given a place here. We've been, I would say we've been invited here, but we've been carried here and sent out at this table to eat the crumbs of that table.
Yeah.
Friends, that king of that kingdom, he's prepared for us a feast. A feast that sits on that table, and he says, come and dine, and we've been brought in.
Yeah.
To taste these things. Friends, our God is more powerful than that, though. He will feed us when we refuse to come and dine. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is merciful unto us, even when we are not faithful unto him. He comes unto us. We don't go unto him until he's come unto us, and he will draw us, as you read over there. It says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Friends, he brought us to an atonement with God. He brought us in communion with God. It says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Friends, you see, we have an advocate in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you see that back over here where we read that that man was healed in this time world? That's a man that lived just like you, Brother George. He had a natural flesh, and his natural flesh was weaker than yours. He was there begging at the gate called Beautiful. But friends, he tasted the salvation of the power of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right here in time. And friends, I'll tell you why. It's because he had a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who is able to succor them that are tempted. Yeah. Friends, what do you think it was like to sit there at the gate called Beautiful and beg for a living? To be carried where you don't want to go? Yeah. Friends, that's where we were. We were without help in this world. Right. Friends, we were but beggars. Yeah. But friends, I also read now that we have a place. And in verse 15, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because of this, because of the work, and because of our faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, when you come to that throne boldly, it's not bold in this flesh. If you're bold in the flesh, you wouldn't even bother going to that place. Yeah. It's when you're weak in the flesh, you crawl to that place, you crawl to that throne and beg for mercy from our God above. And friends, how can you go boldly when you're crawling in this frail flesh? You come boldly in your faith in the name and the power, having faith in the efficacy of the word and works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he has done and will do for us all that he will, that he has come to save us from our sins, and he has done that. But friends, that there is coming a day that we will be made, that it will be made manifest that all these things have been put under my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But until that time, when we're touched by sin in this flesh, we have a place that we can go. And friends, we can go there boldly. Now, how can we go boldly? We go boldly by faith. Faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, that one that begged at the gate Beautiful, he could go boldly. And friends, we find he went boldly when he jumped around. He was running and jumping. Friends, that got attention. Friends, people saw that. They saw this man jumping. This man that they had seen and felt sorry for and felt pity on. Friends, our God didn't feel sorry for us. Our God didn't feel pity for us. He felt love. Unending, eternal, sovereign love. And friends, when he picked us up and put us, strengthened our legs and set us on a foundation, that foundation is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And friends, that one that was healed, he had a place to go, and he went there boldly. And that place that he went was the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help to help in time of need. Friends, that man wasn't healed by Peter. He was healed by the power of God. Amen. And friends, any healing you chase in this world isn't by any preacher. It's not by anything you've done. It's by the power of God. Amen. Friends, we have a God who is faithful. We have a God who confirms us in this time and for eternity. This God who gives us an unending, eternal confirmation. Friends, he's faithful. He's faithful to that. And friends, when you see and have faith in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, friends, you too can come boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace. To the throne of mercy to find mercy and grace to help in times of need. God bless his name.
Amen. Any doubt in anybody's minds I did the right thing this morning? I just had that strong feeling that they were going to bring us a wonderful message this morning, and they did. In fact, I found myself struggling this morning during song service, trying to get a handle on many of the feeling of many of the things I've studied, the letter of, and it just wasn't there. But I've got two or three or four texts right now. But we're going to sing a song and give invitation if there be anyone here that wants to join the church. It will be yours, and I know you'll want to come and give these brothers a ride in the fellowship while we sing. You have a number.